Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and happy Monday. My name is Carla Jenkins, and this is another all-new episode of Project Management Monday, which is part of the Positive Change Radio format. My name is Carla Jenkins. I'm a certified project management professional and certified Scrum Master with over 10 years of experience in project management. I'm also the chief blogger of PM.Expert, which is for all things project management. You can sign up for my newsletter in the show page. And today's episode will be on 7.2, which is estimate cost. As I mentioned last week, this June, I'm doing cost management month because there are four Mondays in June and there are four processes in the project cost management knowledge area. Last week, we discussed plan cost management. This week, we will discuss estimate cost. And this process definition is the process of developing an approximation of the monetary resources needed to complete project activities. The key benefit of this process is that it determines the amount of cost required to complete project work. So we're estimating how much each piece of the work it costs to actually do the full project. We will be estimating the cost of the work breakdown structure, the activity list, everything. And as always, I discuss it in three-stage format of input, tools and techniques, and output as mapped out by the project management body, the project management body of knowledge, which is written by the Project Management Institute, and that's the official guide for project management professional certification. So without further ado, we'll continue on with the inputs, and there are seven of them. So the first one is the cost management plan that we discussed last Monday, and it defines how the project cost will be managed and controlled. It also includes the method used and the level of accuracy required to estimate activity costs. Second is the human resource plan, which we will discuss in Chapter 9. We're currently in 7. And that management plan is a subsidiary of the project management plan, and it provides project staffing attributes, personnel rates, and related rewards, recognition, which are necessary components for developing the project cost estimates. I'm glad that this was in here, because when the project team members do well, they receive bonuses. You have to plan for that, and they cost money, so you have to budget it. The third input, scope baseline. And the scope baseline contains three components: the project scope statement, the work breakdown structure, and the work breakdown structure dictionary. The fourth one is project schedule. And the project schedule was discussed, I believe, 2 weeks ago as Section 6.632, and it's the type and quantity of resources and the amount of time which those resources are applied to complete the work of the project and are major factors in determining the project cost. The fifth input is the risk register, and that's in Chapter 11, and that deals with project risk management knowledge area. And the risk register, I discussed this in, I believe, not just the schedule chapter in Chapter 6, but also in Chapter 5, which is scope. The risk register should be reviewed to consider risk response costs. And risk can be either threat opportunities, typically have an impact on both activity and overall project costs. As a general rule, when the project experiences a negative risk event, the near-term cost of the project will usually increase. And it says the project team should be sensitive to potential opportunities that can benefit the business either by directly reducing the activity cost or accelerating the schedule. The sixth input is enterprise environmental factors. And the first factor is market conditions. And they describe the product, services, and results that are available in the market. The second one is published commercial information, and that's the resource cost rate information that's often available from commercial databases. And that's very important. If you have a Kelley Blue Book for automotive of how much each car, make, and model will sell for a year. Their commercial rates of how much it would cost, especially if you do union labor or something that is regulated. So it can also be, like I mentioned before, the federal government in mileage reimbursement rates. If you drive a car, it's published information, and that's the enterprise and environmental factor. The seventh input is organizational process assets, and an example of them are cost estimating policies, cost estimating templates, historical information, and lessons learned. And now we're going to continue with tools and techniques. And the tools and techniques that will be used are, there are 10 of them. So the first one is expert judgment. And once again, I always talk about expert judgment, especially since we're doing cost, because especially in the United States or in just global business, if you're closer to the money, everybody wants to raise their hand and participate. With expert judgment, please find the people who have the budgetary financial analysis or the cost experience to do the project to estimate the cost appropriately. There are a lot of people who would do, you know, would want to participate in a cost area because they can put it on a resume, and that's the easiest way to get promoted. I mean, if you say, you know, I'm in control of the project budget or I contributed to the project budget, people often promote you because they think that you know how to handle money. But expert judgment, just make sure that the people who have the budgetary cost or financial analysis information are the people that you're soliciting expert judgment and advice from. Second is analogous estimating. And this is where you take previous or lessons learned, similar projects that you've done in the past, and you use this information to estimate your project cost. Now, this is not statistical sampling. It's just a lot of qualitative, not quantitative information. So you're not actually doing live sampling or taking a sample of project performance and analyzing it. It's just information and the values, cost, budget, and duration, the measurement of scale of similar products. And you usually use analogous estimating in the beginning because as the project progresses, you receive more detailed performance information, and so you can make more detailed cost estimations. The third one is parametric estimating. And this uses a statistical relationship between relevant historical data and other variables to calculate a cost estimate for project work. And this technique can produce higher levels of accuracy depending upon the sophistication of underlying data built into the model. The fourth one is bottom-up estimation, and that's when you go from the bottom up, you know, the activity list or the work package, and then you build up and go from specific to general. So you're starting off with the activity list, then you're going up to the work package, and then you're going up to the work breakdown structure. So you're going from the bottom to the top. That's what bottom-up estimation is. And PMBOK definition is a method of estimating a component of work. The cost of individual work packages or activities, like I mentioned, is estimated to the greatest level of specified detail. So you're starting off from the absolute bottom of activity list of work packages, and you're moving up the work breakdown structure. The fifth tool of technique is three-point estimating. And PMBOK's definition is the accuracy of single-point activity cost estimate may be improved by considering estimation uncertainty and risk and use three estimates to define an approximate range for the activity cost. First one is most likely, second is optimistic, and the third is pessimistic. And the formula for it, I'm going to use the beta distribution because that's the most used form if you decide to take the project management exam, is the optimistic plus four times the most likely plus the pessimistic time divided by six. So that is a very important formula and equation that you have to remember if you decide to take the exam, because that will be on the exam. That's very important. The sixth tool or technique is reserve analysis. And there are two types of reserves. The first reserve is contingency reserves, and they account for cost uncertainty, and they are the budget within the cost baseline that is allocated for identified risks which are accepted and for which contingent or mitigating responses are developed. More importantly, the project manager is part of overseeing the cost baseline and has access to this contingency reserve. The second reserve is called management reserve. And management controls that the project manager does not. And furthermore, the important distinction between the two, besides the project manager, is that it's not in the cost baseline because the project manager and the project team does not control management reserves. And a rule of thumb is management reserves should be no more than 5% of the total reserve. So if you do a formula, 95% should be contingency reserve and then 5% management reserve. The seventh is cost of quality. And cost of quality may be used for an activity cost estimate. And even though PMBOK right here doesn't have like the three different types, I'm going to list them. The first one is preventative action. The second one is corrective action. And the third one is defective repair. And I list them in order of how much they cost. Preventative action, which is a cost of quality, you're also going to hear the word nonconformance. So a cost of quality and nonconformance are the same thing. When it's not conforming, it doesn't conform to the quality plan that the project has. But returning to preventative action is when somebody internally on the team finds the error. And it, for instance, if you find that there was an error in the cost baseline and that somebody put an extra zero somewhere and you found it, that's preventative action. Or if you find a defect or something isn't working in the prototype phase, that's preventative action. Corrective action is when there's an error that's found and it goes to the change board. So, you know, you do perform integrative control, change, process control, and you come back, then the change management board, the change control board, approves your change. Well, that's corrective, but both preventative and corrective actions are internal. But corrective action costs more than preventive action because with preventative, you don't have to involve the change control board. Defective repair is the third, and it's the costliest, and that's when the customer finds the defect. When you have product recalls that are issued by the Consumer Product and Safety Commission, if you live in the United States or anywhere in the world, but, you know, the Consumer Safety Commission issues a recall, that's when it gets outside the company. That's when your customer finds it. That's not good when your customer finds your error, because that's not just a loss of money. That's a loss of trust and goodwill. And even though you can't measure it financially and money, a loss of goodwill is very hard to get back. So those are the three different costs of quality or nonconformance. The eighth tool or technique is project management software. And, you know, you have your usual MS project. You have Asana, Slack, Trello. You have a lot of them. You know, the ninth tool or technique, vendor bid analysis. And this is usually in the procurement or Chapter 12, but PMBOK listed as cost estimating methods may include analysis of what the project should cost based on the responsive bids from qualified vendors. When projects are awarded to a vendor under competitive processes, additional cost estimating work may be required of the project team to examine the price of individual deliverables and to derive a cost that supports the final total project cost. The 10th tool and technique is group decision-making techniques. And there's several of them. It can be brainstorming. It can be structure. It can be a facilitated workshop. It can be team-based activities. But those are examples of group-based decision-making And the formal definition is an assessment process having multiple alternatives with an expected outcome in the form of future actions. And when you do brainstorming or when you do facilitated workshops, that is an alternative and there's an expected outcome for it. With this concludes the tools and techniques section. And finally, we are at our outputs. And there are three of them. The first one is activity cost estimates, and they are quantitative assessments of the probable cost required to complete project work. Cost estimates can be presented in summary form or in detail. Costs are estimated for all resources that are applied to the activity cost estimate. And these include, but are not limited to, direct labor, materials, equipment, services, facilities, information technology, and special categories. So everything, every activity cost has to have a cost estimate. The second one is basis of estimate. Can't just have a cost, you have to have a methodology or reason behind how you're arriving at the estimate. What's its definition? Example is its documentation of the basement of the a basis of the estimate, how it's developed, documentation of all assumptions made, documentation of any known constraints, indication of possible range, and indication of the confidence level of the final estimate. And when you hear confidence level, that's statistical. Usually they would do it within two standard deviations, which is 95% of the total distribution. So, you know, that and they, when you do processes, especially when you're doing parametric estimating, that's a statistical relationship. So you would use confidence interval in there. And then finally, project document update. And the biggest thing that they say will be updated with estimate cost is the risk register. So this concludes 7.2 of estimate cost. And as I always say, I would like to thank everyone for taking out time in their day this Monday to listen to me for Project Management Monday. I greatly appreciate it. Furthermore, you can sign up to my newsletter. It's in the show page. You can also get in contact with me for PM.expert, my blog site for all things project management. Furthermore, I would like to also highlight that we have Phenomena Project Management Consulting, and we have products available to help people who are solopreneurs, small and emerging businesses, and corporations that want to use project management to increase their operating efficiencies. We have three products. The first one is triple constraint, just the baseline. And the triple constraint are scope, time, and cost baselines. The second product is the triple constraint, which includes baseline as well as the corresponding project management plan analyses. And that's where we analyze the scope, time, and cost baselines and the management plan. Phenomena Consulting has is the comprehensive project management plan assessment. And that's for all of the subsidiary plans for project management from the scope, schedule, cost, quality, process improvement, HR, staffing, communication, project risk, procurement, stakeholders, as well as the change management and configuration management plans. And for all three categories of solopreneur, small and emerging, which are medium-sized businesses and corporations, we have a paid consultation fee for these analyses to make sure that you have the right, you know, project product. For solopreneurs, it's 97. For small and emerging size, it's 197. And for corporations, it's 297. So those are some of the offerings that Phenomena Management Consultancy has regarding project management. Finally, my name is Carla Jenkins. I am a certified project management professional and a certified Scrum Master with over 10 years of project management experience. I'm a chief blogger of PM.expert, and our slogan is All Things Project Management. You can sign up for my newsletter. It's in the show page, or you can go on to PM.expert. We have the Join the Newsletter in several spots with each article as well as on the homepage. And you can also get in contact with me by email at info@carlarjenkins.com. And once more, I would like to thank everyone for taking time out of their day to listen to me on Project Management Mondays, which is on the Positive Change radio station. And everyone have a great Monday afternoon and evening. Goodbye.